interesting, and it's a little scary. I don't like really being up in front of people. I'm not worried about the word, because that's all in God's hands. I do have a special prayer that I believe God gave me on Wednesday to pray for us, if you don't mind. Lord, I pray and ask God that you put the blood over the doorposts of our mind and over our heart. So Lord, the death angel cannot enter in. The death angel of doubt, unbelief, criticism, anything, Lord, that falls in that category. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God comes in and ministers to our minds, down into our hearts, and then comes out of our mouth to glorify you, Father. God, I thank you and praise you for this. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be in Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1, if you want to go there. We're going to start right out with verse 20. And as long as you guys are getting there, I'm going to tell a little joke. I think we should start out with something funny. And ladies, please don't get offended by the joke, okay? Because there's a reason why I'm going to tell this, because of it, Proverbs, okay? And I was asking God...
You're walking a line.
Yes, I do. But I know it's from God, because I asked him. I said, God, give me a joke that I can tell that will be funny, but yet meaningful. Okay? So, just bear with me. Okay. And you may have even already heard it, but there was a man. He did something really great in the sight of God. So God came down and told him, he says, I will give you anything that you want. Anything. So the man thinks about it, and of course he's afraid of flying. He just will not go on a plane, but he always wanted to go to Hawaii. So he's thinking, here's my opportunity. So he says to the Lord, will you build me a bridge from California to Hawaii? God thinks about that, and he says, do you realize what that would take to do? He says, the man hours, the concrete, I mean, all the stuff that it would take to do. He says, that's impossible. He says, is there anything else I can give you? Man thinks for a moment, and he says, yes. He says, can you help me understand my wife? God thinks for a moment. He says to the guy, he says, would you like 2 or 4 lanes on that bridge? Okay. Now, I noticed the guys thought that was funnier than probably the women. Okay. Now, here's the sobering truth, I think. This we might not laugh at, but women, you can. Okay. The title of this, it says, Warning Against Rejecting Wisdom. Okay, so this is a warning to us if we reject wisdom. It says, wisdom calls out along in the streets. She raises her voice in the public square. It says, she, funny, not he. Men, maybe God knows something that we don't know. Maybe why we don't understand them so much is maybe they understand wisdom better than us. Not saying that's a fact, but I think that's something for us men to think about. I told you it might get a little rough. Okay? Okay. Continue. In the gateway of the city, she makes her speech.
How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mocking, and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my throne known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster and mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, and when disaster and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. I think that's some good advice right there. And I really think that that's going along kind of what the whole theme is, what started this year and even some of last year. If we reject the wisdom and knowledge of God, things are going to happen and we're going to wish they didn't. I'm not saying that if we follow God 100%, because nobody can, but we're not going to have problems. But God will help us through them still. And I'm not saying he won't help us through these, because I'm sure he will. But the reason why that is in there. Solomon, the son of David, wisest man they claim ever lived, wrote this. And if he is the wisest man that ever lived, I think we should take a little heed to it. But I'm not going to focus on that quite so much, because that's hard stuff. That's hard to take. But I think God is slowly embedding this into each and every one of us that are willing to accept it. And of course, the ones that don't want to accept it, they won't. You know, and I think we can all see that in the world. And I think we need to look deep inside of ourselves and be honest with God, because God knows if we're lying or not. You know, where do I stand? Dan Damaris, where do you stand with this? I highly recommend it for all of us. And I also highly recommend that you take the rest of Proverbs down through and read that on your own time. Because I'll tell you what, when I was having my wife read this so I can read this. Because I know most of you know that I do have a disability of reading. Well, it's not a disability, I just didn't learn how to read. You know, let's just face the facts. But through the grace of God, he's given me the ability to read this with the help of my wife. But we went down a little bit further, and there was a couple of words that we read, and we looked them up to find out the meanings of them. And I'll tell you, it gets into some really good deep stuff. But I didn't feel like God wanted me to go there. That's why I stopped up there. But I will come back eventually to 33. Okay? But let's jump down now to chapter 2. The moral benefits of wisdom. Okay? Now this is good stuff. Okay? The moral benefits. It says, my son, if you accept my word, or words, okay, we got to accept them. You got to accept it. We can hear the words of God all we want, day in and day out. Doesn't matter who it comes from, but you got to accept it. And actually that testimony from that girl, I mean, I thought that was awesome as I'm listening to this and thinking how much this is going along to what God is showing me. I mean, what did she do when her grandmother told her she needed to go to church? She accepted the word, didn't she? That's why she went. Because if she didn't accept it, she wouldn't have gone. That was her stat. You know, that was her stat. See, my son, if you accept my word and store up my commandments within you, the commandments of God, isn't that something? Store up my commandments. I've had so many people try to tell me that they're not under, like, the commandments, you know, the law. As a born-again believer, that's true. But as a lifestyle of a born-again believer who follows Christ, that is not true. God says we need to store up His commandments. Store them up. Where do we store them? Let's see. Store up my commandments within you. Turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understand them. We got to apply. We got to apply. And we got to apply. We got to apply. I mean, that word needs to echo in our minds up here, come down into the heart, and out through the body. Apply it. Apply it. And apply it. Let's see. And apply your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight, and if you cry along for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and seek for it as for hidden treasure. I got a question. If we knew that there was, say, $3 million dug out here in the backyard, would anybody in here volunteer to go look for it? I got two people, three people, four people. I would go look, you know, if nothing else, for the adventure. I mean, I don't know about you, but $3 million is much better in my pocket than in the backyard. It does no good there. You know, I could take maybe 10, 20, 30% of that and give it to the church. And then let God use it. I mean, a lot better than sitting in the backyard. You know? So, God's word, which is much more valuable, He's telling us to seek for that as for hidden treasures. And maybe we don't have that big a desire for money. Because, I mean, let's face it, money, we die, we go. Who really cares after that? But those treasures of God's word. Those, do you realize? I never realized this until the other day. Do you know that our lives, the people we impact, the people we touch with God's word, we die. Think about this. We may die, but that word doesn't. It's still in them. That is so awesome. When I realized that the other day and got that, I'm like, how powerful is that? No wonder He wants us to seek after this like treasure. You know? It just goes on and on and on. I mean, to me, that's amazing. It blows my mind. Okay. Hidden treasures. And then And then we will understand the fear of the Lord. You know, that's very, very important to understand the fear of the Lord. Because, again, back to that testimony of that woman, she didn't have the right analogy of the fear of the Lord, did she? I didn't see it anyways. Maybe I missed something, but I don't think she had the right analogy of the fear of the Lord. Because what I get out of fear in the Lord is more of an awe who He is and what He can do. I mean, there's like a, I can't say that word,
reverential fear.
Thank you. Is how I see it. You know, and I think if born again believers, if we get to that point, we will help others see it that way, not like this poor girl had to go through. Like I said earlier, I'm guilty of that. When I first got born again, I'm telling you, I was ruthless. I learned something, and basically my goal was to force you to learn it. You know, I'm just being honest. You know, my nature, I guess. And I don't know how many people that I may have drove away with that attitude. But I'm willing to admit it. You know, I'm willing to apologize to anybody that I did offend and do them wrongly. And I'm willing to change. Because I see it differently. God is growing me up. It's a process. It's a process for everybody. And I really think it's so, so ever important when you have a brother and sister in Christ especially, but anybody else, okay? When they fall, they make a mistake, okay? Think about it this way. You've got a child. He's riding his bike. He falls off his bike. How do you handle it? Do you go over, reach down, grab him by the back of the neck, boot him in the butt? Is that how we would do it? Because I'll tell you what, that happens when a born-again believer or even a non-believer makes a mistake. We've treated them that way. At least I have. I can't speak for anybody else. I will speak for myself. I have. But I learned the best way to do it is the same way I did with my kids. They were riding their bike. They fell. I run. You okay? Grab them. Pick them up. Big hug. Kiss. Brush them off. Back on the bike again and guide them. Amen. Guide them. So I am trying to find where I was. My eyes have got water in them. I know it's fear of the Lord. Okay. And find the acknowledgement of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Now we know where the wisdom comes from, don't we? The Lord gives wisdom. But there's a process. Okay? There's a process. It's like baking a cake. Putting a transmission in, plowing a road, everything. It's a process. And you got to go through all of them to get it right. Okay? You can bake a cake, but what if you don't put all the ingredients in? Is it going to come out right?
No.
If we plow a road and we leave the plow halfway up, are we going to plow the road right? No. You want to put a transmission in a car and you take a Ford transmission trying to put a Chevy transmission in? Not going to come out right. There is a process, isn't there? And it can be a long and painful process. And back up higher, you got to accept it and you got to be willing. I think that's fair questions for all of us to ask ourselves. Am I going to accept the Lord's word, God's word? Am I going to be willing to do what he says? I know I could ask myself that. And, you know, I'll be honest. I know there's times that God has spoken to me and I didn't do it. And I can also tell you, it can bring unbelievable pain. Not only to you, but people you love. I won't go into details, but trust me on this one. And I bet you some of you are sitting here can understand. You know, at times God told you to do something and you did not do it. And the consequences are unimaginable. And for those of you who haven't, I just pray that you don't do that. That you always listen to what God has to say and be obedient. Because, trust me, it can and will hurt others. And if you love others, really love others, you won't do it. And if you say, Dan, then why did you do it? Well, because I really didn't know what love was. I really didn't love the way I should have. And I could blame it on somebody else. Granted, I did not get there on my own. But who's responsible for Dan? Dan. Right?
Yeah.
Especially after knowing Christ, Dan has no reason to stay there. And neither does anybody else. We can come up with all the excuses in the world. I know I was good at it. I was really good at it. And I was wrong. Dead wrong. Maybe you can relate, maybe you can't. But I'm pretty sure there's somebody here that can. Other than that, I don't think God would have me here. Because Lord knows it's not where I want to be. Not in the building, here. But this is what happens when you tell God, change me. Change me, Lord. Lord, I want to be on fire for you. Lord, I want to show your love to the world. I want to show your truth, no matter what, God, to the world. This is what happens. Happens with everybody. It's just what happens. God just With your obedience, He does it. When you allow Him, He does it. When you resist it, go back to chapter 1. That's real. It's there. We can make pretend that that doesn't happen. I can't, because I've seen it happen. And I've had people try to explain it otherwise. That, no, that's not God. And when I was young and naive, I believed it. But I'm not saying that I'm old and wise. But I can say this, that when I listen to God, He will show me. He will. He has. Just like I bet you everybody here. If you thought about it, there's many a times that the good Lord has spoken to you. So you know it's true. So if you're like me and pretended like it didn't affect you, like in a, say, a negative way, do yourself a favor. Let's stop pretending. Come to the truth, the real truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because it will set you free. Amen?
Amen.
Let's see. And let's see. Sorry that I lose my place so easy. Okay, 2:5, yeah. And then find the acknowledgement of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Oh, and from His mouth comes acknowledgement and understanding. I don't know about you guys, but I like to play the understand the Lord's word. This is great right here. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in blamelessness. Now, think about this, okay? He holds victory in store for the upright. Victory! I don't know about you guys, but I like victory. You know, that, to me, that's an awesome thing. Especially when it comes to my spiritual walk. Oh man, when I get victory in something, you know, I get rid of that old garbage that was in the past that was hindering me, you know, stopping me from really connecting with the Lord and the Spirit. Ah, victory is awesome. Then He is a shield to those who walk in blamelessness. I mean, when I read this and God was giving it to me, I mean, Malcolm had did that message on the sword and the shield. One is for defense and one is for offense. Correct, Malcolm? And the sword, I believe, is offense and the shield is defense. I mean, what I saw was when I apply all this, I accept all this, and I start putting this in my life, okay, I envision God Himself out in front of me with His shield. Where's my sword? Tucked to my sheath. Where's my shield? Tucked to my side. Why? Because I don't need it. I get God out there in front of me. I mean, how awesome is that? I mean, I don't know if you guys have a theater in your mind like I do, because man, I have a great imagination. I really do. And I can see it. I can just see God walking in front of me and all the evil and the wicked and everything just being knocked away. You know? And then my life, it just seems so much more pleasant, so much more peace, so much more joy. And yeah, I'm not saying that the enemy can't sneak in there, but only if I let him. Only if I let him. And it starts right here. Right there.
Yes.
Right there. And I see my mind split in half. And there's actually a line there. Okay? So, you get the Spirit that's coming in. Okay? For me anyways, this is how I hear the Spirit. It comes into my thoughts. And then I have my thoughts over here. Okay? So what I need to do is I need to get my thoughts out away so the Spirit comes fully in. Okay, then the Spirit is talking to me up here, and it comes down here, okay, into my heart, ministers to my heart, and then it comes back up, out through my lips. Mm-hmm. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you what, you can really tell what's in somebody's heart by what's coming out of their mouth. You really can. Especially if it's constant. You know, I mean, hey, let's face it. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. That's why he's the one who went on the cross. I'm not saying that nobody's going to slip up and swear. You know, you might even tell a lie. You might do something. You know, I'm guilty of it too. Going to do it. You know, it is what it is. But it's not a constant. It's not an every day, every moment. You know, it's what they call once in a blue moon. You know? And when that happens, think of that kid on the bike again, the child on the bike. How are we going to deal with it? How are we going to deal with it? I highly recommend going over to help pick up the hug. A little kiss maybe. Rush him off. Help him again. I mean, if you feel compelled to go over and grab him by the shirt, call him, boot him in the butt, go ahead. But I can guarantee you, God's going to boot us in the butt. Guarantee it. Yeah, I guarantee that one. I've experienced it. Oh, he holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in blamelessness. For he guides the cross of the just. He guides that cross we carry, folks. He will guide it. He will guide that for us. But all this has to take place too. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. Oh, man, how about that one? Every good path. I don't know about you guys, but I've walked on some pretty bad paths. Yeah, I've been walking down the road and kind of head the wrong way and wish I hadn't gone that way. But through the Spirit of God, we can walk down the right path every time. Speaking of path, that brings me to a little story I heard. It's really not a joke. It's kind of a story. There was this joke ain't exactly the way the other person told it. Okay, I'm going to add and take away from it. Okay? There's this new born-again Christian. And figured he'd pick up jogging. So he's going out jogging. And he starts to go down this path. And there's a man standing at the beginning of the path. He says, hey, sir, he says, I see you heading down that path. He says, just be careful. There's a big hole down there. Don't fall in it. New Christian, oh, don't you worry about me. I'm all set. So he goes on a running. Next thing you know, he finds himself in the hole. Looking all around, trying to figure out how to get out of this thing. So he's in there for a few hours. Well, all of a sudden he's like, well, I'll pray to God. So he prays to God. Lord helps him up out of the hole. Well, next day, same guy, going out jogging, comes to a path, same guy standing there, and he says, hey, he says, if you're going down that path, watch out for that hole. Guy says, don't you worry. He says, I get this under control, man. I went down that path yesterday. I fell in that hole. It won't get me today. Next thing you know, he's jogging down the path. And you know what's going to happen. He ends up in the hole again. Well, being new in the Lord, still kind of waiting, struggling, fighting, trying to get up out of the hole. Time passes, and wait a minute. Maybe I'll pray.
So he prays. Once again, God helps him up out of the hole. Third day, same thing. Same guy, same scenario. Guy runs down, falls in the hole. This day, a little bit quicker. Prays right away. God helps him up out of the hole. He's like, this is good. Okay. Fourth day comes along. Guy's heading out. Gets to the path. Looks at the guy. Before the guy could say anything to him, he says, you know what? He says, today I'm going to take a different path. Wisdom. It took him a while, but wisdom. He learned. And I don't know about you guys, but you can use that scenario in your own life. You know, how many holes you fell in, how long you stayed there, what kind of hole it was. I mean, it could be a hole of lies. It could be a hole of gluttony. I mean, you know, I mean, we fall. It could be a hole of alcohol, drugs, anything. You put it there. Okay? And ask yourself, am I still in that hole? Or if I prayed and got out of it, and now tomorrow I'm going to take a different path. God gives us a new day every day. Well, we hope anyways. We hope tomorrow's going to come for us. You know, but that opportunity is usually there. Let's see. And they will understand. Good path. For wisdom will enter in their heart. Yeah, see, just like that guy. Wisdom entered into his heart, so he took a different path. So wisdom will enter into your heart, and knowledge will be placed to your soul. Imagine that, knowledge into our soul. Isn't God really good to us? I mean, he can be, if we let him. You know, and if we're honest with ourselves and we say, hey, Dan, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not really getting this. I'm not really sensing this goes on in my life. You know, I don't feel like God's, you know, directing my path. He's not entering wisdom into me and knowledgement. And I say, go back up and read. Find out where you're missing the mark, where I missed the mark. That's what I had to do. I mean, I don't know if you can see this, but this page is so filthy for my hands being on it. You would not believe the time I've spent here. It works. That's all I'll say. It works. Then if you come down to chapter 3, Proverbs. I can't read that word.
Further,
thank you. Further benefits of wisdom. There's more? Imagine that. Huh. I thought God said he'd pull out abundance over us. Guess what? There's more benefits. Now, what we read earlier in chapter 1 was a small piece. We got to remember that too. I mean, he warned us, but it was small compared to the benefits of moral wisdom. Moral wisdom, not worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom, that's all right in the world. And yes, we do need some of that on certain things. But I'll tell you what, moral wisdom is what everybody needs. And we need abundance of it. And it's here. It's here for the taking. It's here for everybody who doesn't believe. When they become a believer, it's there for them. So it's there for them. And it's here for us who believe.
I mean, there's just abundance of it. Now, I'm going to ask this question. What if I was to say there is a box of wisdom, moral wisdom, outside buried? Who would be willing to go dig that up? I'm getting more hands now.
Are they in the same hole?
Wisdom. And I don't know if you heard it. She asked if the money and the wisdom was in the same hole. Okay. My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commandments in your heart. Well, if it says, my son, do not forget my teachings, I guess that means we can, right? And so if we can forget them, then there's going to be a consequence for it. Just like if we keep them, there's a consequence for it. And keep my commandments in your heart. I mean, that is so important, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, really, if you think about it, those commandments are there for a reason. They really are. And God did not put them there for us to fight over, argue over amongst ourselves or anybody else. He put those there so we could have such an enjoyable life here on this earth. I mean, He created us. He created this earth. He put us here for a reason. And part of that reason is to enjoy this life that we have. And if we're miserable, to me, the evidence is telling me why we're miserable. It's because we're not doing these things. We don't have these commandments stored up in our hearts the way we should. You know? And that's not to be critical. That's not to criticize. That's the truth of the gospel, is what it is. I mean, yeah. The enemy would love to get back up here in our minds and tell us these foolish and stupid things that he does tell us. And we can't let him. We can't. We have a choice. We can let that play inside of our head like, wow, well, geez, I don't have that commandment up into my heart. You know, I'm no good. I'm worthless. No. You fight back, and we've said this many times, a thought with a thought. No, enemy, you're wrong. I may not be following that commandment the way I should, but you know what? I see it, and now I'm gone. I'm putting my foot down. I'm making a stand, not for myself and not for anybody else, but for my Lord Jesus Christ. Because he died on that cross for me. That blood came out of his body to give me this ability, to give me this power, this strength to do so. That's how we do it. But you got to have an attitude. Everybody's got one. Right? I mean, there's no denying that. But the important part is to have the right attitude. Right? Yeah. To have the right attitude. And I'll admit, I don't always have the right attitude, but I'll tell you what, if you would have saw my attitude before I knew Christ, you would be like, wow, there is a God. I can't believe
that.
Amen. See? Lord knows there is a God. My wife. And myself. I know there is a God. There is no doubt in my mind and my heart. There is no doubt, because nobody knows me better than me, and nobody knows you better than you. And I know for a fact I am not the same man I was before Christ came into my life. You know, I am far from it. And thank God for that. Ah, oh, I can never thank Him enough. I really can't. You guys can't either, and you don't even know it. Oh. But keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Maybe you don't want to live very long. I mean, that's up to the individual. Maybe you don't want to be prosperous. But the word prosperous can mean many things, I guess, as far as like what you prosper in. It could be finances. I'd rather see it in my spiritual life. You know, that's where I really want to prosper, is in my spiritual life. I would love to see my family prosper, you know, in closeness and unity. And when I say family, I mean both. I mean my household family and my church family. That's what I want to see as prosperous, you know. And finances is fine too, as long as you do what's right with them. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bead them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. Love and faithfulness. Now, those two words have such an impact on people's lives. They impact my life, they impact your life. How we portray them, how we use them, is very, very critical. It really is. It should not be taken lightly. Especially love. I think it's so important to really understand what love really is. And there is a lot to love. There really is. Love, it may be a four-letter word, but I'm telling you what, it's huge. It's so huge. I mean, to me anyways, it really is. And faithfulness, I mean, that's faithful. That's to all. That's everybody you come encountered with. Be faithful to them. You know, I mean, it is, to me, it's just huge. Bead them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Now, I like that thought. I really do. As far as like having a good name in the sight of God and also in the sight of man. And I don't know if it's because of my life, the way I was brought up, where I dealt with rejection a lot throughout my life, but to know that God Himself will find favor with me and another human being will, that ministers to me. It really does. And I hope it ministers to all of you, because I want to use the right words here. We should all experience that type of feeling and emotion. I know that just came from a man. Feelings and emotions. You know, we should feel that. We should. We really should. Because it just, for me, it just warms my heart. Ministers to me. Changes my outlook on life and people.
Yes?
That is a prayer that we pray for Libby every day.
What's that?
That she would find favor in the sight of God and man. But it comes from minding truth and mercy around her neck. She has to have that first in her mind.
Yes. Yes.
And then she'll find favor. And she has. She's found favor in the sight of God and man.
It works, doesn't it?
It does.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Oh. Maybe just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not unto your own understanding. Oh, God, that is so important. That is so huge. You know, if we could just get out of our own heads, you know, get away from all the thoughts and stuff that's been put up there. I will add this. In this course of this week, you know, praying and thinking about this message, it came to me, and I forgot about this. Because I always wondered why I did not learn how to read and spell. Okay? And so I thought about it, and I really feel like God had showed me that the benefit for me, okay, and please, nobody take this the wrong way. Don't go out and tell your kids not to learn how to read and write, because I might come at you and pick you up by the collar and kick you, because that is not right and that is not good. Okay, this is for me. I really feel God did this for me for a reason. Okay, is in my mind, okay, I have not cluttered it. And I'm not saying that you guys have that can read, okay? But I have not cluttered it with a bunch of other books. People's theology, people's lives, and all that other stuff, okay? The only book that I can really read is the Word of God. Okay? I have written two little books, very simple words, to my grandchildren. Okay, so I'm not saying I haven't, but 99% of my reading throughout my life, okay, is the Word of God. And he showed me this week when I was younger. I can't remember if I was in fifth or sixth grade. We had a summer school to go and learn how to read. And me and one of my other friends that couldn't read and write either. He went. And for some reason, I didn't. And I don't know why. You know, my mother didn't make me go. You know, and I don't hold her responsible, you know, but I didn't go. And I'm like, why didn't I go? You know, why didn't I? And what I got is, so this is what goes in here. So we'll go down to here and come out here. And I believe it's God's will for me in my life. Is how I see it. And I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm telling you how I see it. Oh. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. You know, if we would shun that evil, I mean, of course, you don't want to forget, do not be wise in our own eyes either. You know, think more of ourselves than we should. But evil, that's anything that is a sin. Anything. God says, shun it. Get rid of it. We don't need it, do we? What's it bring? Destruction. It's what it brings. It'll bring destruction to your health. It'll bring destruction to your mind. It'll bring destruction to your family. It'll bring destruction to your church. It'll bring destruction to your town. It'll bring destruction to your city. It'll bring destruction to your country. That's where that goes. If we don't think that that's important, then there's something wrong with that thinking. And that's how it works. Doesn't it? It's like the breakdown of the family. You know? You break the family down, it breaks the church down. The church gets broke down, the town gets broke down, or the city. Eventually. And then the country. It's just the way it works. God has a law set in place. And we can't change it. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. This book is God's law. The way we're to live. And we're to live according to His word. And when a number of us don't, this is what happens. That, to me, is why it's so important for every born-again believer to be on the same page, to be of one accord with one another. If we could only look at a person and see them for the person, not for the sins or the mistakes that they make, okay, and separate that. And I don't know if you guys can see this or not, but I see it in my own mind, because what I see is we can take, and somebody can make a mistake, and we get mad or angry at that person, okay, for making that mistake, instead of the mistake itself and where the mistake came from. Because at that moment, that person is getting the wrong thoughts, letting the wrong thoughts in. I mean, I hope you understand it. And then that thought goes from here down to here, and then out here or out through the body in action is what happens. So when somebody makes a mistake, if we could just look at them and separate them from that sin and love that person, just like the child on the bike. You know? I'm not quite sure if I'm explaining it where people are grasping it. Because in my mind it's clear. But it doesn't mean I'm explaining it so it's clear. Okay. Do not be wise in your own eyes, and fear the Lord and shun evil. And not only that, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Imagine that. A natural remedy. A natural remedy. And you might say, geez, Dan, you've been pretty sick for the last 4 years. And I can stand here and say, yes, I have. So what's that tell you? Right? I don't even think I have to go there with that one. Living proof. Oh. And honor thy Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crop. Then your barns will be full to overflow and your vineyards will break over with new wine. Hallelujah, huh? Yes. You know, honor the Lord with our money, food for the food pantry, you know, whatever it is. You know, bring it into the storehouse, bring it into God's house, and He'll make ours just overflow. And He does. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resist His rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father that son he delights in. You know, I've said this before. When the good Lord disciplines me, it took me a while to get it, but I've got it. He loves me, is what it is. He really loves me. And I'm pretty sure that we can all agree on this. If you have a child, or your mother, or your father, or a good friend is running towards a cliff, hopefully it's safe to say that everybody in here would yell to them, stop, so they don't go over the cliff. And you may not say it, please stop, right? You may have some authority to it. And that was said earlier, something about with the voice that we use. Sometimes we do need to do that. We do. When another born-again believer is heading for a cliff, and I'll let you guys paint your own picture on that, because we do. That sin that entraps us, we head for that cliff. Do we love that person enough to say stop? Something to think about. Yes.
And I'm wondering if I need to share this, and you just said what I needed to know for sure. But this week I was reading, brought me into Ezekiel chapter 22. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but some of the captions are the things Israel in the furnace, and then Israel's wicked leaders and the things that were going on for Israel. One of them that keeps comes up, it says, her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar. You'd understand that better than I would. Seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So then he says, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Then he said, there's a little commentary with this. It says, God calls us, his people, to stand in the gap and call those around us to repentance and new life in Christ. Who do you know that needs to hear the good news? Whose heart needs your prayers and faithful witness? And then this one, when I was sitting here, was what he brought. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted.
Yeah. Because that goes along with what was just being said. That's true. You know, for us to reach out. You know, reach out. And I did say there was one other verse I was going to read. I'm sorry. If you go back into Proverbs, chapter 1, 33. Okay. I saved this one for last. I mean, for those of you who know me, I'm usually not the most gentleness, but I did save this one here to ease pressure. But whoever listens to me will live in safe and be at ease without fear of harm. So if you listened, you apply, you do what it says, then that scripture will apply to us. And yes.
My Bible has a side note that says, He will make his words known to us if we listen to him, repent when he corrects us. He will open up wisdom to us, and we will have more revelation than we could ever imagine. All we need to do is obey what God has told us to do. He will reveal to us hidden treasures within his word. We have not even scratched the surface of the revelation that is in the word of God. If we obey him, he will make his will clearly known to us. He will speak living words to us, his personal word for our lives.
Amen. So true. Yes. So true. I guess that's it. We'll say a quick prayer. And Lord, thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for coming and ministering to us, Lord. Thank you, God, for being amongst our presence. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for using me. And Lord, I pray for humbleness. That we leave this place humble, Lord. We leave this place, God, with your spirit just filled into our minds and in our hearts, God. And we're able to go out into the land, your land, Lord, and just spread the true gospel with your true love. Lord, whether if it's in gentleness or boldness, whichever one it takes, but we know by listening to the Spirit and acting by the Spirit of God, so it glorifies you, God, never us. Lord, I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.